What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to Value Town, episode 65. I'm Chanman V. Got the crew here as usual: Noxious, Raynad, and we've got a special guest today, Dog, who hasn't been on the show for a while. So this is good stuff having you back on, man. Ooh.
Things like that.
Ah, awesome.
Yeah. So we kind of all have like different reasons to be here, right? Like Chanman's hosting. Raynad likes to hear himself talk, and I just like to, you know, argue with Raynad about the stuff that he says. And I guess you're here to talk about stuff for real. So okay. You're a welcome guest on the show, Dog.
A welcome change of pace. Yeah, I guess that's true. Raynad, how you been, man? Enjoying that lunch, man.
Yeah, well, better time than right when you start the show to start eating. I've been good. I'm back from like the 5 days of casting thing, trying to catch up on streaming lately. That's about it.
Yeah. Oh, 5 days. I forgot it was like that long, man.
It's all rehearsal days and stuff. It was only 3 days of broadcast.
Yeah, yeah. But it was good seeing you guys, man. It was great, like hanging out and everything last week. But lots to talk about. I mean, lots of things that we found out, and then everybody in the community found out 2 days later, which was interesting. But lots of cards since then too that have been released that we were going to get a chance to talk about today. Kind of going old school Value Town, you know, just analyzing some of these cards and what we think about them. But we'll be doing that as well as talking about the America Winners Champion, that championship that happened this past
week. One thing I need to hold you though before you keep going. Brently, Raynad might be turned up too high.
I just turned him down.
Just a heads up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just turned him down a little bit, but
keep going.
Yeah, we'll be talking about the championships, America and EU. EU is going to be this weekend too, and I don't think you're casting that, right, Ray? Or are you part of that?
Oh no, I couldn't do back to back weeks because it's just too much time away from streaming and stuff. I've got events coming up.
Yeah.
But Dan's actually packing to leave to go back up there right now. So he'll leave in like half an hour or something. And it's going to be like 3 weeks of work in a row for like Dan and I think TJ. I'm not sure who else is doing them.
It's here. It's there though, right? At the studios.
Yeah. They're flying in the Europeans to Hollywood. So it'll be the same studio as the North American broadcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, yeah, they're definitely hard workers, and we definitely appreciate them, you know, doing all these events, because it would be an event without Frodan. I can't even imagine, man. So definitely cool. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. And then, of course, Q&A, guys, at the very end of the show. Tweet your questions to ValueTownGG, and follow the channel, too, if you haven't followed it already. I'm, like, terrible at plugging that channel, but that's the, you know, I try to tweet from there whenever we have ValueTown news, and then, you know, do the whole retweet from our accounts and that sort of thing. So
yeah, stuff.
Yeah, trying to get more following, I guess, to that specific channel if you're only interested in Value Town and none of the other shows that I do. But okay, so just talk about, I guess, Hearthstone. I mean, obviously we've talked a little bit about it. You've been doing a lot of the, you're doing the event most of the week, but anything else cool happened this week in, I guess, Hearthstone for you guys?
I don't know, dude. I don't think I've ever played that little Hearthstone in a long time because I just feel like laddering is not as fun for me right now. And, you know, I guess it came off of the announcement that they made about the expansion coming out, you know, not immediately, unlike League of Explorers, giving us kind of a long wait time. And that on its own, I thought, you know, was just going to be a little boring. And the first week, I just gave myself a little bit of a break. I feel like I can actually enjoy it now. Like, if I went today to play, I think I'd have some fun.
Yeah.
Before.
Okay. Yeah, how about Dog? How about you, man? Since you've been back.
Well, I've just been streaming a lot, and Hearthstone, it's, I don't know. Knowing the nerfs are coming, it's not very fun to play specific classes, so I've just kind of been messing around with, like, stupid decks, because, like, now I feel like I'm more incentivized to troll with my decks, because, like, you know, it's the middle of the season, I know cards are getting nerfed, there's going to be a new expansion soon, so... Just been messing around with like OTK decks, I guess.
That's cool.
Yeah, OTK, it's fun. What class have you been doing with OTK?
I did Exodia Mage last night. That was fun. That's just the infinite fireball. Yeah.
Nice. All right, that's fun. I can see it being like hard to be motivated. You still have to get to let, you know, yeah. You still have to like try for points. So it can be, I can see it being difficult for all the top players. Ray, how about you, man? Been back streaming a couple of days. Like what you been streaming?
Played a lot of Control Warrior, some Druid, pretty boring decks to be honest, but
yeah, good though.
I don't know.
Good
though. I've already tried so much weird stuff in the past 2 months that, I don't know. Just might as well play real decks for a couple days. It's more uncommon for me to play real decks, I think, than weird ones. So that's what I've been doing for the past couple days. And then, I don't know. I was really like discouraged when we heard the release date for the expansion, because that was like way further away than I was hoping it would be.
Yeah.
But it's also a ton of cards, and it gives them a bunch of time to do card reveals and market it the right way. And the more I thought about it, like Leo Explorers was like a super frustrating release for me. Because
really,
we just came off of the grand tournament, and there were like no playable cards because GVG and Naxx were broken. So like none of the cards from grand tournament got used, and then we wait months and months and months for more content, and then League of Explorers, and they announce it right away, but it's an adventure, so you only get like the first week of, like, yeah, they announced it. Yeah, you get to play next week, but it was like only the first wing.
Okay,
yeah.
I know what you mean.
The
I know
first
what you
wing
mean,
sucked on top of that, I think. And then they wait another week.
They gave us Reno first. Right? They gave us Reno first.
But you didn't get
one
the rest.
One of the weeks sucked. I forgot which one.
Yeah.
But you wait a week, and then you get another one, and then they had the fucking holiday break in the middle for two more weeks.
That's right.
So it ended up being like a month and a half before we got to play with all the cards anyway. So it's not really any different from this.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I kind of did forget that, you know, just the whole one dungeon per, you know, week kind of thing. And they gave us Reno first, so I think everybody went nuts on the first week, and then you know, just like the subsequent weeks were definitely a lot less. And you're right, Ray. There was one week there was absolutely nothing, so it was pretty bad.
Genie of Zephyrs, I think that was like it was a really bad week. Plus, I mean, I feel like with the new content we're getting in the whole rotation, we're gonna get the new expansion, but I feel like revisiting TGT is gonna be a big part of the exploration process, because that expansion basically got untouched. Not because every single card was useless, because it's super well designed, I think. Like I think that set has some of the best, most balanced cards that have, you know, okay effects in them, but it's just missing the OP-ness that the other, you know, sets had. So yeah, revisiting that is gonna be great.
Oh,
it's gonna
TGT,
be more than just a new expansion.
TGT is the Inspire one, right? So
yeah, Inspire.
If you make those cards overpowered, it's pretty bad because it's just gonna be a snowball effect, and whoever plays the first Inspire card wins. So you don't really want to make Inspire cards too powerful. What they did with it, I think, is like perfectly fine. Like Murloc Knight is like an awesome example of that. Like it's such a good card, but it doesn't see that much play, but it still sees some play, right? And that's like how you want to do Inspire mechanics, because if you make them too strong, it's just going to be whoever plays it first and whoever can snowball the board. And that's like not fun at all.
I still blame Blizzard for making Fencing Coach a 2/2. Like, you know how they are making all these C'Thun cards like on tempo playable?
Yeah.
Right? Like they're making 2/3s and 3/4s, and I'm still really angry about Fencing Coach, because when I saw the card, when they even talked about the mechanic, I was expecting something like Fencing Coach. The problem is, like, it's so terrible on curve. You just can't even justify it. But right now, with the new set, I'm happy with what they're doing. I just wish they'd revisit maybe Fencing Coach alone to make Inspire playable.
Yeah, if it was the 3/3, that would actually have a really big effect.
Yeah. I've tried that card out a lot, and it's about the only way you can play some of those Inspire
pretty much
cards. Yeah. Some of the really good ones, so the ones that make the most sense, and too, like the Shaman one, and some of the, and maybe even Paltrus too. I mean, Paltrus is like one of the most fun cards, and just instantly dies. Like literally the turn, it's automatic death. There's almost no way to keep it alive for more than a turn. So it's always, you have to wait so long for it. But wait, so we're already jumping into Whispers of the Old God, so we might as well start talking about it. You did talk a little bit about the marketing of it, Ray, and I think that's one of the biggest things, right? We've been talking about just having to wait this long, and they went back to, it was TGT the last time that they basically revealed one card at a time. They had the whole voting thing on the website, you know, that whole bit. Was that TGT?
Yes, okay, yes, that was the one.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So they're kind of going back to this type of thing. At least we're not voting. Gosh, that part was just, didn't make any sense to me, where we'd have to vote and then they would reveal based on what we voted for.
No.
So at least we don't have to do that, but they are going more towards that, where we're revealing one at a time. And I wonder if they're just going to reveal every single one by the time the date gets here, like all 134 cards. I'm pretty curious because it seems like we're getting like two cards a day or something like that right now.
Yeah, like every single community is getting stuff to publish.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So be, I don't know. You guys like this? You guys like this kind of marketing, or would you just prefer just all come out at once?
It's both, I guess.
Great. You think I like how they're getting the community and more involved. They're not just doing like press anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Like before, it used to just be PC gamer type of things. Now they're doing community sites and they're doing like streamers. That'll be really good, I think, for the game overall.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree with that too. Let's see. So we were, you know, obviously we got a chance to go and hang out a little bit last week, you know, and before just the whole announcement. Anything particular that you guys, you know, like I guess wanted to talk about that's come from the announcement that revolving around Whispers of the Old Gods? You know, I think by now the whole community knows just all the dates. For those of you maybe that don't, the release and standard and the whole standard versus wild change is going to be coming late April, early May. There's not an exact date like named yet, but it's going to be in that range. So another, you know, 6 weeks or so. But other than that, I think Noxious, you had a few things, right? Just pertaining to the expansion.
What do you mean?
Or just some thoughts on maybe some of the change that we've seen. I mean, one thing I could mention is the deck slots, right? We finally see the deck
slots. Right. Good Lord.
And we're seeing some of the UI changes, right? In preparation for it.
Yeah. So it's frustrating to me because as someone who likes to think about UI, like it, obviously, you know, not everybody cares about UI. It's such a boring part of, you know, gaming, I guess. But when you look at Hearthstone's UI, like there was a lot of stuff to improve on. They've done like a good job. They've included my collection links on the adventure mode page, the regular page. So that there's like a lot of stuff that they've improved on. But I don't get deck slots and the way they were implemented. Like if it took so long to implement. And the thing is, it's tied to deck recipes, obviously, right? The idea of having a full basic deck for you to, you know, modify right off the bat instead of making your own from scratch, so it's easier for new players. But I don't understand how that took so long to do. Like, I can't even comprehend. Like, if they added sub-menus, let's say, you click the rogue icon, and then there's, like, 9 slots for rogue, or you click the paladin icon, and there's 9 slots for paladin, or that only starts when you reach, like, you know, you make 5 paladin decks, it starts creating a sub-menu. No, there's literally nothing else in a scroll bar, and that kind of irks me a bit. I feel like we've just been laughed at for... I don't know. I don't know, dude.
They want to make things really simple, right? Like, and it takes a lot of testing with, like, a bunch of new people and things like that. I mean... We're like the top percent, right? Who play like every single day, and we kind of want that stuff. But at the same time, there's like this giant, giant portion of new players that don't want to be overwhelmed by like all these buttons and things like that. I think it requires a lot of testing. And
yeah, I get that. I just feel like that's one of the few aspects about UI that I can't imagine somebody messing up, like a scroll bar.
I can't believe they didn't add the scroll. That's kind of ridiculous to me. That's pretty funny.
Like that's the only thing that kind of irks me is if it had been a bit more than that. Anyway, it's like it's a minor issue. I don't even know why I'm harping on it. First world problems, much, dude. It's just it's one of those things that just
I feel like
they could have done more. Right. They could have done so much more.
They said it didn't take long to implement it. They were just debating on whether they even should.
Yeah.
That was the big issue. Yeah. And I think it's really bad to develop a habit of like complaining about a lack of deck slots for 2 years, and then as soon as they're out, complaining that it didn't come faster. It's just like a really
I guess so. I'm just like a spoiled kid at this point. Like ultimately, I'm happy there's deck slots. I just find it like the arguments they brought up toward like during working on deck slots. Maybe the wording was weird.
Well, Ben on his stream, I think a couple of days ago, has talked a bit about it. And like Andre said, he said that it was super easy to implement. It was just the decision was just more about, you know, the big decision.
Yeah,
was
it's
just
UI.
To do
it's
it
a UI issue.
No, it's just whether to do it or not. And they finally decided, we should do it. And they just did it real quick. So it's nothing, you know, too crazy about it. But
all right.
Maybe in the future, though, we'll probably get some innovations to that, too. Yeah. You know, just
and deck recipes are cool, though.
So, yeah, what'd you guys think about that?
I'll give him that.
You guys get a chance to look at the deck recipes? I kind of used it just to get shit started, you know, when I was building a new deck, just quickly. But that's about it so far for me.
I was using them last night. Some of them are pretty good. The Handlock one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really, really, like, well built. And I went, like, 5-0 with it last night.
Oh, just the straight one? Just the one that they...
Yeah,
oh,
just
wow.
The, just the Panlock one that they gave. And yeah. What else is good? The Malagosa one is off by a couple cards because they added Burgles for some reason. But the ones on the far right are like usually really good. Yeah, but the Shaman one I went like 0-4 with because it was like mid-range Shaman. Yeah, they're pretty well built. I'm kind of impressed. I wonder if the cards missing, because like for instance, Handlock doesn't have Iron Beak Owl. I wonder if the cards missing are indicative of like what's going to be nerfed.
Oh,
because
that's
like post standard. Yeah.
Was BGH in any of those decks?
BGH was.
Oh,
BGH
no.
Was.
Oh no. Okay.
Yeah, he's gonna just cost more, I guess.
Yeah,
there's
just gonna be some kind of I guess it's not, they're not gonna remove cards necessarily. They're just gonna change them up a little bit, right?
Giants are still in there, then that's what it means, dude. Giants are sticking around, really.
Well, maybe he's just, you know, he's just speculating.
Well, I mean, if the deck was, I mean, I guess they put Murkai in the Paladin deck, so.
Okay, Ray, you try it out. Try out those deck recipes.
I go to tempeststrom.com.
Oh,
I haven't gotten a chance.
But that's where they took the deck. That's where they took the decks from, right now.
Exactly,
like,
right. They're using.
We don't play Burgle. Burgle is not a tempeststrom approved card.
Tempeststorm has their own APIs that Blizzard actually uses. It's not like vice versa, right? Have it actually plug straight into the game. All right, well, lots of cards have been released. Man, there's been a bunch even just the last 3 days. So why don't we start talking about some of these cards? Some of them announced last week, and let me flip over to it. And the cards I have, I guess, up right now, wait a second, if you guys can see the stream too, is C'Thun, as well as three of the cards that are specifically about C'Thun and not class-based. We're going to say, I guess, the cards that are class-specific for towards the end. But I want to get your thoughts on C'Thun, just generally. Do you think it's a good card? Can you see it being viable? Ray, you want to start off?
Yeah, it looks like a really fun card to play with, and it plays differently in every different class. But then the more I'm looking at, like, the more I think about it, and the more I think about, like, the cards they're revealing lately, like the class-specific C'Thun cards, the less playable I think this card is. Like, I mean, I'll end up doing a set review, but, like, I feel like with Beckoner of Evil, let's start with C'Thun, I guess. Yes, you play him and you blow up their board. That's great. You have to live till turn 10, and then you're still vulnerable to direct damage after you play him. So it's like questionable that you can set up a board state where you play it. But let's say you play it, and he's a really big minion. You can kind of expect it to get dealt with. I mean, even if they nerf Silence and BGH, like, there's going to be something. If C'Thun ever becomes too dominant, something like Assassinate might even see play, or like Sabotage or Deadly Shot, Hunter's Mark, you know, all these things. So anyway, C'Thun is like kind of mediocre to begin with, I think, just because he's so big and clunky. But then like all of these early game minions that look really good are actually like kind of underpowered in the best case scenario. Because if you look at like Beckoner of Evil, it's a 2-mana 2/3. And at the very best, like the best effect it can have, the best case scenario is on turn 10, you get 2/3 of an arcane missile off of it. Like, that's what the battle cry is providing you.
Yeah.
Like, 8 turns later, you get 2 extra damage. Because it doesn't really matter if C'Thun's, like, 14-14 or 16-16. Right. They either have the answer or they don't. It's the same size. So, functionally, it's like a vanilla 2-3 with, like, some tiny chance of a tiny upside later on.
Interesting.
Twilight Elder's, like, Spider Tank with, again, it's just, like, it takes so long to get value out of their effect. Like, that it's not worth playing a below-curve minion, I guess. In Twilight Elder's case, he's, like, pretty solid, I guess,
yeah,
since Death Sprite's rotating out. But in Beckoner of Evil's case, it's, like, you'd rather be playing something with upside. So if you compare these cards to something like Flame Waker, it's, like, you get a missile for every spell you play. Like, it's just a 3-mana card that wins the game on its own.
Yeah.
But then here you're, like, hoping for, you know, a Flame Waker trigger 8 turns later, so... I'm really skeptical, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Doc, what do you think?
Well, they can't make the cards too powerful, otherwise every C'Thun deck would look the same. So I kind of like how they did it. I mean, the minions are statted appropriately, I would say. And it seems like it could be okay. Of course, not every deck's going to be able to play Kithun. We'll just have to see what other cards get released with it. Right now, the cards, as Reynad said, I mean, a 2-mana, 2/3, I don't think I've ever seen one of those played and constructed, like, ever. So,
Darnassus? Or do you mean just Vanilla?
Darnassus is the only one, I think. Everyone wants 2-mana, 3/2s because they trade up. At least they trade up with Shredder. And it also depends what the stat lines are for minions. But we'll have to just see when new cards come out and how they're going to interact. I mean, the Ancient Shield Bear already looked pretty cool, right? That was, like, what?
Yeah,
10 armor? That's a lot.
We're definitely going to see that in a second.
You're going to get to that. But, it depends. And Kithun, like, the Battlecry itself, I agree. You could probably get him up to, like, 20/20 if you really tried. And that's not very good, but at the same time, it does clear their board. And if you can, like, go with, like, some type of cheesy mechanic like Shadow Step, or, you know, you vanish all your stuff and replay it. I mean, that's not very practical. But at the same time, I'm sure there's going to be, like, some way to kind of abuse it. Maybe that'll be cool. I don't know that it'll be strong enough to play in, like, every class or anything. It'll just be, like, kind of a fun side deck, and the minions, we'll see how they're statted.
That makes sense.
Yeah, Noxious, I know you were talking about the Kithun Servant being a little, I guess, a bit analogous to, or at least similar to Shredder. I mean, I didn't actually think about it when I first saw it like that, but I guess I could kind of see it.
I mean,
just with the Divine Shield.
Here's the deal, though. Like, the problem with Shredder is that you couldn't actually clear their board because whatever you killed came back. The thing is, in this case, you can mitigate the Divine Shield with only one damage instead of three.
Yeah, sure.
So, like, it's very different in that function. The thing is, like, let's say Druid ends up, you know, keeping Savage Roar, right? Like, I don't know what they're keeping, what they're not. Let's assume Savage Roar doesn't change and Force of Nature does because Blizzard doesn't like charge. Then you could literally just build, you know, a normal Druid deck. Well, not normal, but a Kithun Druid deck using Roar as a win condition. And Kithun is basically your one card combo at the end of the game, right? It's like one of those things where you just build up to that. You either win through tempo because you still have all the ramp tools for the most part. And then, I don't know, I feel like you could do a lot of work with that. So maybe it won't work in every single class, and maybe the cards are a bit clunky, but that 4-drop that they have, not only the 4/5 Yeti that also can become like an Ancient of War, but that 4/2 a Divine Shield, I feel like for a class like Druid is going to be completely busted. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, there is definitely a Druid card that came out too that we'll be talking about in a second, but okay, that's definitely interesting. What do you guys think about just generally the design of investing, I guess, like, investing 16 cards, I think they said, into, like, this one card, Kithun, right? I mean, they don't have any synergistic value like, say, a tribal type of set would have. It's like Murlocs, right? Murlocs have synergies amongst themselves, so you can kind of see that playing those cards, set, you know, without just this single powerful card like a Murkai or something like that. But with this, I mean, you literally have to invest X number of cards into, you know, one hero, and it's the first time they've done this, so I kind of wanted to see, and for me it's a little bit risky, you know, like, it's definitely a potential, at least at the very least it's fun, right? But it is the first time I feel like they've, you know, made you invest like X number of cards into a specific type of build, or at least a specific hero or a champion type of thing, and or boss type of thing with Kithun. I don't know, what's your thoughts on that, Ray? Any, I don't know, does it seem odd to you, or does it seem like a good idea to you, just having this different type of design?
I'm glad they're doing the design, because this is something you can only do in Hearthstone, so no other card games can really do it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like, whether it'll actually end up being playable, we'll see, but I like that it's a unique design. I really like the concept of it. I think it'll be fun to play with, and it's very, like, everything about it is, like, so good for getting casual players excited about the expansion and standard. So I think this is a great way to do it, like, whether or not Kithun ends up seeing competitive play. I think it's great implementation.
I mean, they're giving it to us too. I mean, they're giving it to everybody too, just so that, you know, that's kind of one of the things tied into the design, is that everybody will get a chance to see Kithun get ramped up, because everybody gets 2 Beckoners and a Kithun right off the bat,
right
after you buy the packs, right? So that's going to be cool. All right, let's move on to the next set of cards.
Hold on, one sec. We should talk about this Kithun Servant card. This just came out.
Oh, okay,
right?
You didn't see that. Okay.
Yeah, that's
I thought
you
just skipped
about.
Over it, because it was just like, it's like not that great.
I just talked about this a second ago.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
On the screen. But your question was just, you know, how good is Kithun? It wasn't
how good
is Kithun Servant. That card's really interesting, because there's no there's never been a card with like that stat line printed before. And if you look at Divine Shield, it gets like progressively more valuable the more attack your minion have. Yeah. So like Divine Shield on Force Tank is worth like 2 mana probably, whereas on like a Scarlet Crusader, it's worth like 1 mana. So I don't know. I feel like the fact this thing has all the right stats, it doesn't die to 1 damage hero powers, makes it like this could be like the new Shredder, sort of. It's super, super strong, I think. I don't know.
Oh, that would be bad if it was, man.
Dog,
that would be really bad if it is. Dog, you have the same similar thoughts on
Servant? Well, they're going to be a lot less tokens, so people are going to be like not running as many like 1 damage AoEs and things like that. So Divine Shield will probably get out 2 mana for your hero power. And it's not 1 HP after that. So yep. I agree. It's pretty like strongly statted. It might see play outside of Cthulhu decks, but at the same time, we'll just have to see. I don't know. I have to see all the other minions.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on then. Let's move on to the next set of cards, which, let me get that off there. So this set of cards I'm going to be putting on the screen are one of the themes that they have, which is essentially modified versions of cards that we have, you know, corrupted ones or polluted, you know, versions. Yeah. And these are some of the first cards that we saw from the set, which are Corrupted Healbot, Validated Doomsayer, and Polluted Hoarders. You can actually see how they've been manipulated. Any thoughts on these cards and just the theme of it, Noxious?
You mean the aesthetic of it?
The theme of it. Yeah, just the theme of it. Dude, what do you think?
Okay, sure. Like, well, I think to me the biggest one is Hogger, obviously. I mean, that's the coolest of them all. But I like the idea that they're making those crazy cards refer to some of the older ones. The thing is, even the name of Polluted Hoarder, like when I asked and I pressed them, I'm like, this is a wordplay, right? And it took Mike Donay about like 4 months into development to figure it out. But it was a wordplay, because apparently Pollute Hoarder is a wordplay. And that aesthetic alone, the fact they're pushing that reference to the old stuff, is kind of nice. Like, it's a good throwback. Mechanically, though, I don't think it matters at all. All it gives you is like buffier minions that do something similar to the old ones. But with Healbot, you have a completely different effect. I don't really care either way. I think it's cute, but that's it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking that we're going to... I don't think they said the number of cards are going to be like this, but I'm thinking like a big number of cards. There's been some people saying in Reddit like they think this is lazy design. What are your thoughts on that comment, Doc?
I don't think it's lazy. I think it's cool. Nice. It has a theme, and it really like... I don't know, it kind of makes me excited, right? Mm-hmm. Cards are okay.
It looks good.
Anything special right now.
Yeah. Any of them stand out to you guys, like as being, you could see being good in a particular class or just a particular archetype? Ray?
Is he dead?
Oh, I think he's frozen.
Okay. Wow,
he's like statue. Exactly. I don't know, either of you guys, you see this
the fact that you couldn't tell is actually just a sign of awesome, I guess. The fact that he can actually pull it off on a regular basis enough that we think he's there.
Yeah,
I think honestly Hogger is better than people give him credit for. Like, he's not as bad as Trogzor. I think he's better than Trogzor for some like weird reasons.
Yeah,
he might be slow. I don't think he's a very good card.
It's not amazing.
Corrupted Healbot's not bad. If you're going for a control deck, if you're going for a control deck and you get a 5-mana 6/6, that's a lot of like good stats for not that much cost. Yeah. And you don't really have to pressure him if you're a control deck anyways. So I feel like
you play Cthune.
Yeah, you play Cthune.
And Polluted Hoarder is also kind of interesting. It adds another cycle card to your deck. A playable cycle card, right? Like, the stats on it are terrible. I don't think it'll see play. But at that point, like, some classes need enough cycle to pull off combos. And mm-hmm. this just gives you, like, another cycle card that's an option. And having the option for a cycle card is really good. Because eventually there's going to be decks where it's just, like, play, like, 20 cycle cards and then pull off your 10-card combo. Right now there aren't enough cycle cards to do that. There's only, like, Drake, Gnomish, Loop, Novice. Mm-hmm. You know, they gave us a chicken or something.
Yeah, the experimenter. Good lord.
Yeah, so I'm glad they're adding more card draw options, and I'm glad that they're not like super strong. Like, this one's pretty weakly statted, I would say.
Yeah, the Doomsayer, I wish there wasn't, you know, I wish there weren't cabals in this, you know, in the game, and I wish there wasn't like Shadow Word Pain, because I actually like the way that it's designed. And I kind of referenced it a few weeks ago when we were talking about it, Noxious, you know, that I feel like those type of cards, right, when we were talking about how OP some of those cards were, or were design limiting, because they're,
I was angry about Cabal.
I think we could all agree with Cabal, but even Shadow Word Pain for me was just like, I wish it wasn't like that, because you can't make 5 or 6 mana cards that are very low attack and some crazy cool text because of it, right? And I think this is the case with that too. I think Doomsayer is just like, crap, man. It's as much as you can answer on the first turn, it's like even worse, because it can be answered with a single card. Hey, welcome back, man. Oh, I think Ray's, hold on,
he's not hearing you. He's not even listening to you.
You know, he's
I'm back in.
Hey,
all right, welcome back.
Welcome back. All right,
we had a question for you, but we forgot what it was.
We forgot what it was.
Oh yeah, it had to do about what do you thought about the fact that like all the cards, like how many cards we're going to be getting that are going to be corrupted versions of the old stuff. Like, what do you think about that aesthetic? And like, do you think it's something that should expand on?
Yeah.
In a nutshell, that was the question, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that they, I don't know how to put it. I like the theme of it. I think it is a very cool design, and people like familiarity, and it's a good way to do it like thematically for a card. I think it's a really good, adds really good flavor to the set. The thing I do disagree with though is that these were the cards they decided to like showcase first. The Whispers of the Old Gods reveal, it's like the announcement of a new expansion standard format. It's what everyone's been waiting for. Like, regardless of what cards they revealed, people would have been super hyped, clearly, because all of these suck except for Hogger, and people were like super hyped about them. So I really think they should have taken the opportunity to like start off with like Hogger, maybe, or like it's like a different polluted card, like a more, something that more competitive players and more casual players can be behind all at once. Whereas they just kind of showed us like 2 5 drops, which are like super comparable in roles in that they cost 5 mana, we'll never see play. And then like polluted hoarder, which is, it's like a really familiar concept, and it's a good way to showcase the whole corrupted thing. I just think like for that first announcement for Whispers of the Old Gods, they should have shown a bit more exciting cards. But I like the theme. I think it's a cool way to design cards for sure.
So you just mentioned that Hogger you thought was a good card.
Yeah,
and he just said he didn't like that card, right?
So let's argue.
Maybe we should debate this card a little bit. Ray, why do you like the card so much?
I think it'll be core and patron, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, even without Deathbite, card is pretty strong. Even in wild, like with Deathbite, it's really strong. It looks really bad. I don't know. When I first saw it, I'm like on the fence, and then I thought it was like kind of bad, but the more I think about it, the more playable I think it is. You just need like the right enablers to go with it, I guess. It's really hard to kill. That's the thing. You can't
use damage.
Exactly, because you need like 1/6 attack or more minion, right?
Well, the thing is, if you have multiple minions, it's like, well, I mean, let's say you have like 2 3/3s. They don't even trade into it. Like you attack, and then there's a taunt.
The taunt comes. Yeah.
It's actually like really interesting. And then if it lives, it's not like you're just running it into their stuff. Like worst case, that's what you're doing, which is still pretty good for you. But you can also enable it with, you know, whirlwind effects and all that kind of stuff. I actually think it has like a lot of potential, like mostly because the gnolls have taunt. That's the main reason.
Yep.
They're really strong.
Okay, let's move on to the next set of cards, which we have. Let me bring them up. Okay, and these. Okay, the next card, actually, just one card I have, is Eater of Secrets. So this is the card that you guys announced at the championships, and I know your reaction when you guys announced it was just like, I think the exact quote was "meh," I think. And then
I was
immediately
being positive. I said meh because I didn't want to, you know, I don't want to be like negative Nancy. But this card is complete and utter trash.
Yeah.
My opinion.
I agree it's pretty bad, but it gives you the option to have a card like Kazan that's not as swingy, and it's good against Freeze Mage or something like that, which I like. I mean, having the option is always nice.
There definitely needs to be some anti-secret card in the format for sure. But yeah, so it's like, it's necessary to exist. I just don't think it'll ever like see play.
Yeah, this one seems to favor, you know, this one's definitely better against Secret Paladin than, you know, Kazan, right? If you're comparing it to Kazan, Kazan works a lot better against Mage.
Better.
Yeah, Mage and Hunter. And then playing it too, getting to play the Secret, essentially, and having it swing so hugely is definitely... You just think Kazan's better even against Secret Paladin?
Yeah, Kazan's better in every matchup, I think.
Oh, okay.
They're going to like run out of Secret on turn 3 or something, or 4, mm-hmm. with Secret Paladin most of the time. So you, like, you play your Kazan, and then their Noble Sacrifice can like mess with their Shredder attack or something. It's actually really swingy in the mid game. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, it's like, I mean, are you going to wait until they play Challenger to play this? What if you just have to have something on curve? And you know, you play it, you blow up their Secret, you get a 3/5. It's great value, but it's not like exceptional. Whereas Kazan's just a blowout every time. And then after they Challenger you and they have 4 Secrets in play, it's like, okay, they played a 6/6, pulled all the garbage out of their deck. You played a 6/8, which is cool. They still get the first attack. Like, they're still in a better position. Even if you eat all of their Secrets, they're still in the lead because they probably had the board before then. Even if they didn't, I would rather have the 6/6 instead of the 6/8 if the 6/6 gets to attack first. So I actually think this isn't even like good against Secret Paladin. I just I don't know. Against like Ice Block or something, though, you know, tools like this are necessary, but.
Yeah, so functions the same. I mean, yeah, they both eliminate a Secret. So against Ice Block, I don't think that's a big difference.
The thing about hate cards like this is like these are the cards that noobs get the most excited about. They think it's like so incredible. There's these cards that like when they get spoiled, where like most of the time they're really bad, but in the best case scenario, they're like nutty. And then like people always just like the worse the player is, the more he's thinking of this like magical world where it happens. But then, like with this card scenario, even in the like world where they go Challenger and then you eat their Secrets, you still lose, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I'd venture, because they have Keeper of Uldumon, dude. Like, they don't give a fuck. The Keeper of Uldumon is just play Aldor. Like, you're just dead. It doesn't matter. God damn it, that card.
You eliminate all their trash and wind drops. Dog, you feel that strongly about that? I mean, because you...
I agree it's not going to be that great against Secret Paladin. I just think it's a less swingy Kazan, and I think it's necessary to have in the set. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one's really going to play it ever, I don't think. I agree. I mean, unless, like, Hunter and Freeze Mage get, like, really, really popular, or, like, you know, you're going for a lineup that, like, just crushes Freeze Mage because Conquest is still going to exist. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll see very much. It's pretty bad.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Doug, too, though. I like that it's less swinging than Kazan. That's the one thing I'll say about it. Kazan is, like... The issue with it is if it ever hits, the Kazan player just wins the game.
Yeah.
It's, like, so powerful, but this is, like, a better way to do it, I think, more toned down.
Yeah, stealing Freezing Mage and Mirror Entity usually is GG.
It's funny. Like, because I remember back when, you know, Midrange Hunter was a thing, like, in the days of Undertaker, that's when I actually started making that, like, that card creation show that I ran, like, a while back every week. And the first episode was a pilot about anti-secret tech. The first one we came up with was a 3-mana 3/3 legendary that stole a secret, like exactly like Kazan. And the second one was a 4-mana 3/3 that ended up eating the secrets and getting +1/+1. And it's like there's only so many bad effects you can make. No, not at all, because there's only so many ways you can like delete secrets from the game. And as soon as you start realizing that, like Kazan Mystic is so broken, it would have to be, if ever there were like a dominance of secrets, it would have to be a legendary or like have such shitty stats that it's just unplayable or does nothing else. But it's not the case right now. And so secret decks have always kind of been kept in check anyway, because they're like ice block, one secret and I'm dead when you time it. But for decks like Secret Paladin, like Kazan is fine, but you wouldn't tech against Secret Paladin with Kazan.
Yeah.
And I think that's what kept it in check for a while now. But given that Secret Paladin dies afterwards, yeah, I think it would be a problem. I'm just happy we have an alternative that's not
I think
as OP.
Kazan was kept in check too, just because there were decks that don't have secrets that are strong.
Right, of course.
Like Druid, right? Yeah. I mean, like that's a big reason too.
I mean, even in the Winter Championship, we saw like a ton of Kazan. And I mean, the Kazan wasn't really ever used except for getting lethal against Freeze Mage. Like, that was the only thing that was used.
you know, outside of Savannah High Main, which we've had forever now, we still have not come up with a huge legendary, or even in this case, epic Hunter card that's just like the finisher for it. And Gazrilla was an attempt at it, right? And King Crush.
That's right.
I never really seen, you know, King Crush obviously is. I wish that card was better because it's such an impressive, you know. Just,
oh, it will be too good one day. You will be pissed at it.
Really?
It will be so fucking good, you'll rage.
Yeah, so Giant Sandworms, the next attempt, the latest attempt at trying to get a huge beast playable for Hunter. And this one is, you know, it's not charged, but it's one of these where you can get like two attacks from it potentially, right? Like a double turn from it.
Triple attacks even. You can get a billion.
It's not it can be a triple attack, right? Yeah. It could literally like attack. Yeah, it could attack everything on the board as long as it stays alive, right? First thoughts on this card. Noxious, what do you think?
Bestial Wrath. No, that's all I care about, really. Bestial Wrath and Stibble Master. That's the only thing.
Yep.
The only thing. Aside from that, I don't know. Like, you can't play 8/8s for 8 without protecting them.
Yep.
So, I mean, unless BGH dies off, I don't know.
Well, that's one of the big arguments for BGH, right? Like, these kind of cards, these kind of fun cards aren't allowed to be played or designed.
And I have to wonder, though, like, does Syndra Rhino get changed because of cards like these ever? Like, we talked about, you remember a while back with
Rhino's that five, that though. Like, how do we get...
No, sure. No, I'm talking... Like, we were talking last time about, like, an episode about nerfing cards that we think should be different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Rhino came up, like, as a side note.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Rhino's not a problem now because you can't protect it, you know, until you get that 8/8 out. But if a day comes up where that's possible, then what happens? So I have to wonder if they're not going to, if that's not a sign of anything. I don't know. I'm curious.
Ray, thoughts on this?
It's a pretty cool card. It's a pretty big sandworm. I mean,
it's
a giant sandworm, okay.
I think most of the time it's going to work like Ironbark Protector, because if you have stuff on your board, you kind of can't not kill it, because it's always, like, if it ever gets to attack, it's going to do terrible things to your side of the table. But the stats, like, don't scale that well, you know? Like, it passes the vanilla test, but around turn 8, it's not, like, super hard to kill it. So I think, like, people will get blown out on occasion with, like, Ram Wrangler with this card.
Oh, my God, no.
God.
It is an epic, which is cool. You can play two of it. But I wonder if it's... you kind of need, like, setup for it. I don't know. That's how I feel.
Concealed, like, Beast.
If it ever gets to attack, yes, you get to blow up their board. But if you think about, like, how the games actually play out, your opponent's only ever going to do one of two things. They're going to, like, kill it immediately, which will happen most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll just ignore it and go face. And at that point, you're playing, like, a one-turn delayed Twisting Nether. Like, they're never going to play into it, right? Like, if they know their board is going to get eaten, they're not going to play more stuff for you to eat. So you're just going to take a bunch of face damage. So what I'm saying is it's, like, risky to play it when you're behind. It's actually, like, worse than Ironbark in that scenario.
Yeah.
But if Hunter's looking for, like, a big dude, then maybe this is the right one. I'm not sure.
Control Hunter, man. There's attempts at control.
I mean, it can still attack face, right, at the end of the entire sequence. So at least it's 8 damage.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, that's true. The final attack can.
People always see big minions and they think, like, control whatever class, right? But if you look at, like, the best control deck in the game right now, it plays two cards that cost more than 5 mana.
Yeah.
So even control decks don't want Ironbark Protector, you know what I mean?
Yeah. This card reminds me a little bit of Foe Reaper, and I'm sad that that card's going away, so this will be a little bit of a consolation for it. Dog, what about you? Do you like this card?
Really bad. It's just the Ram Wrangler buff, and I guess you can call Pet into it and make a gimmicky deck, but it doesn't have charge, and it's just going to get removed. Yeah. If you're running a call Pet deck, then you could just throw in a ton of high-cost beasts, and it'll work. But and then, because I can't remove all the 8/8s. But, yeah, I don't know, just Ram Wrangler buff. That's all I see.
Yeah.
We need a deck that puts a beast, like, card that puts a beast on the top of your deck, from your deck, and then you can play call Pet with it, so you can only play these cards in Rhino.
Oh, is Culpa GBG?
Yeah, it's gone, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind.
It's a wild deck.
Oh, there goes the setup.
Yeah, it's a wild deck. There we go.
There's a wild deck.
RIP.
Call pets.
Wild sandworm.
The last thing we need is above Hemet. The last thing we need is above to Ram Wrangler. So I don't know if we want that, especially in competitive. It would be a little too much RNG for me. Okay, next card we're going to talk about is a Paladin card. So this is like, I don't know, Muster's stepbrother, I guess. Stand Against Darkness. There's a 5 mana and you get 5 Silverhand Recruits. So, you know, somewhere in the Muster, Dark Whisper type of card where you're just filling the board. What do you guys think? Doesn't seem to work quite as well as Muster, given that, you know, Quartermaster works really well because you can maybe coin into it sometimes, you know, after Muster, and you see things like that. But you see this being viable in some type of archetype?
It depends if they have a quarter, like if they have some type of effect like Quartermaster, maybe it'll see play. But it's really, really bad. You don't even get the weapon from it, and
yeah, that's true.
Like, this is a pretty all-in card. Like, spending 5 mana to get like a bunch of 1/1s on board, that's a huge commitment to like Brawl or to any AoE. I mean, it could be answered with a Whirlwind, it could be answered with like almost an Arcane Missiles or something. So I don't think it's very good. There's like very little upside to it, and there definitely needs to be more synergistic cards with Silverhand Recruit. So I don't think it'll really see play.
Right, Ray?
If you look at it like off pure stats that you're getting, it looks worse than something like Silverhand Knight, and it is vulnerable to cards like Swipe and all of that. But token effects are kind of, in my opinion, the most underrated effects in Hearthstone, because they're all a little bit stronger than they look, because they're still going to have things like Gormok and Sea Giant. Mm-hmm. And if this does live a turn, it enables some pretty swingy plays. So I mean, if you consider other 5 mana cards like Azure Drake that we know are good, like Azure Drake, you know, if they brawl your Azure Drake, you don't feel too bad. If they're using a 5 mana spell to kill like some of your stuff, it's like you're fine with getting your Stand Against Darkness brawled. All right, if they have to use that AoE against your 5 mana card, mm-hmm. it's actually not bad. So I think his card's like, I mean, it looks underpowered like just by the numbers, but if the right synergy exists and there's few 1-damage AoE things like Swipe, then I could actually see this being a pretty core part of Paladin deck.
Okay, Noxious.
Yeah, well, I just echo what Reynad said, because that's pretty much my initial thought on it. Like, it looks boring, but it's so much more powerful than it looks. Like, getting, like, buffable targets for Paladin, I think, is really, like, really strong. You don't know what can happen with it. And the fact that you're spawning so many bodies with summon effects being in the game, like, it's not even just, you know, Gormok and Sea Giant. Those are, like, the obvious insane cards. Like, boring stuff, like, whenever you summon a minion, something happens. Like, never mind Juggler, but something else could exist that does that. I don't know. I feel like it's underrated. It's boring, and I think people got angry and pissed when they saw it at first. And I can kind of understand, but, you know, that's more of a marketing problem than a card problem. That card is pretty sick, I think. Like,
I disagree. I think it's pretty bad.
I think it's somewhere in between. I mean, the Paladin deck, where the token Paladin deck, I remember playing a lot for a while, and I mean, it never ended up being as powerful as Secret Paladin, of course, but there were definitely elements that were really close for it to be good. Just having more minions than your opponent on the board, you know, is generally a really nice advantage, because of, like you were saying, Noxious, with the buffing ability, and even Ray with you with the Siege Giants and stuff like that. But there are cards that buff all your minions too, right? I mean, we haven't seen Muckla's Champion much, you know, and that kind of ties back to the Inspire thing, but there could be potential for that sort of thing in this expansion. And I have a feeling that there will be something that's going to allow for buffing all your minions in easier fashion, or at least more viable fashion. And when you do have something like that, that's fairly cheap, this is going to be pretty good. So hopeful that this isn't going to be a trash card. All right, next up, we got a Druid card. Okay, so this is another card that buffs Cthulhu. Actually, this card and the Shieldbearer. Let's just talk about both. So we've got Klaxi, Amberweaver, and Ancient Shieldbearer. So one warrior card, one druid card. Both of them essentially heal you heal you if you have a Cthulhu at a certain amount, which is probably couldn't be easy for you to have a Cthulhu at 10.
No, I don't think it heals you. It gains health. It's a 4/10. Don't restore.
Oh, 4/10. Oh, yeah. The druid one is. Sorry. The warrior one is gain. Oh no, is gain. armor.
Because they're both gain you health. Yeah. Armor.
Yeah. Wait, right, wait, okay. Wait.
No, it gains health. It wait. Gains health. Not your hero.
Oh.
I misinterpreted that. Okay, yeah. I thought it was wow. Hero health.
It's a 410. It's an Ancient of War.
That's
a 410.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
God. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I didn't interpret it like that. Wow, okay. Okay, well, what are your thoughts on this card? Noxious, obviously, I'll start off. Just both the cards. What do you think?
I am excited for the armor one, honestly. Like, mm-hmm. 7-drop vacuum right now, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that it rewards you for playing some of the cards in the early game that you wouldn't necessarily be happy to play, like, in most cases. But all you need to do is give your C'thun +4 attack. The thing is, like, in Warrior 4, playing those weird tempo cards in the early mid, even in a deck like C'thun, or can't they? Like, what do they have to sub out to become viable with that? So I guess that's my biggest worry. The Druid one, I think, is nice, just because it's basically an Ancient of War that doesn't get Shadow Ward Deathed. Late game, like mid game, it's usually just a Yeti for the most part, right? Like, that's how I look at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dog, what do you think?
Ancient Shield Bearer is pretty cool, although most warrior decks aren't mid range and they're very, like, you know, like Face Warrior, Patient Warrior, or Control Warrior, and Control Warrior runs a bunch of different cards, so. I don't really know if it'll see play. It just depends on the other C'thun cards. Currently, I don't think it would, but it's possible it will if there's some better ones released. Glaxi is really interesting because it's a 410, and that's crazy, crazy, crazy. But
Twilight Drake.
At the same time, you have to play like subpar minions. It'll be interesting to see if this really works out. I mean, most of the Druid's thing is you want to play like, you know, Wild Growth into a really strong 4-drop, into 5-drop, into 6-drop. So you don't want to be playing these like 2-drops and 3-drops to buff your C'thun, or even if you have C'thun, I don't really see it in Druid. But I mean, maybe you can build a deck around this card and C'thun, because that effect is like really, really good.
Yeah. Ray, what do you think?
The Druid cards looks pretty nuts, because even in the, you know, worst case, it's Chillwind Yeti, which is a card we're looking at maybe playing anyway. There's also going to be more room in Druid for things like C'thun minions, since every single card in the class is getting nerfed into the ground, I imagine. Ancient Shield Bearer is a little bit more interesting. Like, with Control Warrior, like, how do I put it? Okay, with a C'thun deck, you kind of, like, force your deck to be a mid-range deck. You're playing all these mm-hmm. dudes. And the gaining armor effect is really only good in a deck that is like control. For example, like, you know, Control Warrior just wants to play a pile of removal and armor effects so that they don't die to burst and all that. But gaining armor in a deck like Druid, for example, like, yeah, it's cool. It'll help you in some matchups, but it's also like, if you're ahead on board, it's irrelevant that you're gaining armor.
Mm-hmm.
And mid-range decks will tend to be a little bit more aggressive. So, like, gaining the armor is basically less good in a C'thun deck, I think, even though that effect would be disgusting in a pure control deck.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, they're costed very aggressively, and they both might see a lot of play. We'll see. The cool thing about the Warrior one, though, is that, like, C'thun is this really just slow, clunky idiot. So the best deck to put that in is a defensive deck with an armor hero power, so maybe C'thun's just naturally good in the warrior class, and in that case this card would be really good.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I could see that too, but like you said, you'd have to have some of those minions that buff them, and right now a lot of those spots would be just are filled with removal cards, right, or weapons and that sort of thing. Well, it'd be interesting to see if warriors get new weapons in the upcoming cards that are announced. That Druid card, oh my goodness, like, it's cool, the decision making that they're potentially, you know, giving us, you know, in terms of deck building. But man, if that thing gets popular, that's, I mean, 410 and doesn't get silenced to a 1 health is pretty awesome.
You mean a non-shredder 4-drop?
That is
unbelievable.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, you can't innervate to it, but it's pretty awesome. Okay, well, that's going to be it for the cards. That's all the cards so far that have been released. Maybe there'll be some more tonight, but exciting. Mm-hmm. Exciting to get a chance to talk about cards again. You know, new cards at least on Valuetown, so really happy about that. All right, why don't we move on to some of the winter championship talk, and let's talk about the American Winter's Championship, which was this past weekend. You guys, obviously, Ray got to cast it, so I know he watched a lot of it, but Noxious Dog, you guys get a chance to catch some of the matches?
I did.
I watched a few. Yeah, just a couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't catch the entire thing, but the ending of it, at the very least, like the last few matches.
Yeah, definitely congratulations to Amnesiac for winning. Been a good player for a long time. Mostly, he's just been too young to compete in LANs. He's 15, for those of you that don't know how old he is. So it was really cool to get a chance to see him win. And I thought it was cool generally just have him and Chess Dude, who's, I believe, 17, and having that element in the production with having their parents there and, you know, getting a chance to interview them, you know, and getting that kind of side of it. So wanted to see, actually, Ray, specifically for you, in terms of being a team owner, how much more difficult or is it more difficult to even have a young player like that be part of your team? You know, where you have to, I guess, have parent approval for everything and have to deal with the parents too?
Yeah, we have some young players. One of our WoW players is super young. You know, I met his dad at one of the events they played up in Burbank, and it's not too different, to be honest. Everyone in esports is pretty young. You know, most people are going to be 18 to 20 or 18 to 22. Mm-hmm. And you know, the difference between being like 15 and 18 is not a huge deal. Nijak's definitely like on the, you know, youngest end of that spectrum. But age doesn't really, it's not really a factor in my book. I guess it makes, like, old people hate young people. I'll say that. I hate teenagers, right? So if you're trying to like sell keyboards to like 25-year-old dude,
oh, I see.
50-year-old kid is like not necessarily the best brand ambassador for that, but mm-hmm. your org is not going to be all 15-year-olds, right? Like the main draws to signing a player should definitely be like, are they good at their game and reasonably competent, and then mm-hmm. are they marketable? So, yeah, even if they're not marketable to all demographics, maybe like having a young player is more appealing to younger viewers.
Yeah.
So there's like that aspect to look at. But yeah, for me, like age isn't a big deal.
Okay. Dog, you mentioned, you know, watching Chess Dude, some of his matches, and you seem to be impressed by him. I've seen him maybe very limited in the past, but I've known about him for a while, like that he was very, you know, one of the top players too. But what about him really impressed you?
I don't know. I just saw him play. He didn't make many mistakes, and he seemed like he knew what he was doing. His deck choices were a little off, but I don't know. I liked him, so I thought he was good. And usually I have an eye for, you know, if people are good or bad, and he was on the good side.
What'd you think about the Rogue? I mean, what'd you think of Amnesiac's Rogue? It seemed to do really Amnesiac's well for him.
Yeah, Amnesiac is a really good Rogue player. I know he had help from like Just Sane and some other really good players. So Amnesiac had the most help with prep. I think that's why he won. Although I think he was also the best player, but you know, best player doesn't always win. But because he prepared so much with so many other good players, that was probably what let him win.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that for sure. Production wise, you know, we had a lot of. Well, I wouldn't say new casters because we've seen the you know, Toddle and Cora and some of the others in the preliminaries, but it was cool. You know, it was definitely cool seeing just all of you guys get together for these championships. Ray, how was the casting experience just overall, or just the production experience? Was it pretty smooth and a lot of fun?
Yeah, show was good. It was run pretty well. I mean, casting is like, it's not something I do often, so I'll definitely like very critical of myself. A lot of times I mess up and it's learn a lot, but yeah, the show went smoothly. It was run well. Everyone is really competent. The quality of casters in Hearthstone mm-hmm. has like shot up so much in the last 2 years. Cause it was just abysmal a while ago. Like even like our BlizzCon casting for like the one Firebat one was like, I don't know. You know, like we've come a long way, so that's really good to see the scene is like evolving.
Yeah,
yeah, good show for sure.
Yeah, it was nice seeing like a rotation, like everybody rotating too. You know, Froden doing some interviews as well as casting, and everybody else, you know, kind of filling in the roles too. I think Robert did a pretty good job hosting the panel. A lot of the times I was watching, so that was really, really, really good to see. And just overall, it's just going to help everybody out, you know, help everybody get better, which is, that's all we want, right, with Hearthstone Productions. Yep. The European one is this week. So, and we were talking about a little bit, I guess, prior to the show. The European one's a little bit different because I think there's, I'm not sure many people will know a lot of these players. Are you guys familiar with it? Here, let me link you guys. Take a look at this page, guys. I know Dog was saying you knew, I think Naaman, I think people know a little bit.
And yeah.
Pokerop.
Infamously known, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, infamously known, but.
And I know of Pokrovac. I mean, I've heard of him. And I don't know. He's been around for a while, so I kind of recognize his name. Everyone else, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. This will be a good, I guess, a good test to see, I guess, what kind of viewership we can get, you know, for a championship that has lesser known players. And this is what it's all about, right? This is what the championship's all about, giving everybody that plays the ladder or plays any of the events, you know, an equal chance of really getting on this main storyline of Hearthstone. What do you guys predict? You guys
storyline. I kind of like that. That's a good way to look at it.
Exactly. Yeah. You guys think that, I don't know, any thoughts? Are the European players have any different type of meta than the Americans? You guys know? Do they tend to play any particular class a little bit more?
Maybe on ladder. Maybe on
ladder is a little different, but in the tournaments, it's all the same.
It's all the same. Yeah. Okay.
I'd imagine so, at least. Like, I don't know.
China's, you're right, Noxious. It's like the, and Dog, it's like in tournament play, it's really, really similar. But China's like the special butterfly. It's like the interesting one.
Yeah.
A ladder and tournament deck. So
the special the butterfly. Dog's like, yeah, dude, we went there, we played normal decks, and we just won. It was just so simple. Yeah, I don't know. I like China's deck list. Like, the deck lists that come out of China are just so insanely weird sometimes. Like, some of the stuff
bad.
That I see.
They're not necessarily worse all the time.
No. Weird. I did use the word weird. okay. And the thing is, the thing about those decks is that there's so many people, like, you're bound to surprise some of them on the way up. Yeah, so a lot of those decks, like, as soon as they're known, they just falter, right? Like, immediately. And I think that's the biggest thing here is mm-hmm. we don't surprise enough people with our lists. Like, there's too few of them. So you end up meeting the same guys over and over, or the deck gets publicized with a small subset of the population. So I don't know.
So Ray, are they worse most of the time? I mean, you seem to have a face when I said
that. I mean, define worse. I don't know.
Yeah.
China's pretty consistently gotten wrecked in international competition for like 2.5 years. And I think a big part of it is playing those inconsistent, like, techie decks. They just had solid play and solid decks. I feel like as a region, it would perform better, like, internationally. I don't know what it is, man. Like, because they're such good players. Like, they're so smart. They have, like, reasoning behind every card inclusion and everything that they use, but I don't know, at the end of the day, it ends up being these unique lists that are, like, very linear, and, like, they're smart in the way they're built, but they look like the decks we were messing around with in beta, you know, where it's like, okay, like, this aggro rogue strategy or whatever is, like, good, proactive, I can rationalize why I put these cards together, but when you just, like, run the numbers, it's just, like, less consistent than, like, aggro shaman, you know?
Yeah.
I cut you off.
I was just gonna say, like, in the case of this tournament, it's like, you know, that ramp druid, like, it's good ramp druid, solid strategy. It makes sense why the cards in that deck are included, but then the guy playing ramp druid just, like, lost every game because it wasn't mid range druid, and you just couldn't double combo people.
Yeah.
So.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, why don't we take some questions? You know, before we wrap up the show, you guys can tweet your question at ValueTownGG. And we'll start taking some of them. Maybe you can put some in the chat, too. One of you guys maybe look at chat to see if there's any cool questions there. But
oh, God, sure.
We've got one here from Matt. Matt, the answer. Could C'Thun be good in a high-cycle rogue deck? I'd like to see a 2-mana spell give C'Thun +2/+2 and draw a card. Thoughts?
Yeah, that'd be pretty insane. A spell, though? I don't know. It would have to be... It can't be 1 mana because we know what that does. Good lord, what was that?
That is
your oven,
Frodan.
What is that?
Very insecure motorcyclist on the highway.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's a motorcycle. Holy smokes. Okay. Sound like a chair or something.
Yeah.
What?
No, it's chair being dragged. Dragged on the ground. Okay, a chair.
Oh, like what type of chair you got in your house, Chan, man? But yeah, like I don't know, dude. I feel like Rogue, like C'Thun Rogue, seems like a logical fit just because of Shadow Step and Conceal for fun. But like, how much can you play those cards together outside of like Miracle Rogue, where you're cycling through everything to get to that C'Thun? And then if you're shoving all the little cultists in your Miracle Rogue, then Miracle Rogue is no longer Miracle Rogue. It's just a bad temple rogue. And then you're like, well, what am I doing with my life? So I don't know what the exact fit will be for that deck, but there's going to be something coming out of Rogue. I feel it has to.
Okay. Anybody else think cycle type of rogue might be good?
Cycle rogue is always a thing. Rogue runs a lot of tempo cards that don't cost much mana, like Backstab and Preps. And when you run those tempo cards, you need, I lost my train of thought. You need more cycle, to run those tempo cards. And so you can choose when you need the tempo and when you need to use those cards. So for instance, let's say turn four, they make a really strong play. They play a Piloted Shredder. You're like, all right, I'm going to use my anti-tempo right now. I'm going to use Prep Sap. And then, you know, that costs you two cards and they don't even lose the card because they still have the Shredder in hand. Mm-hmm. So you need the cycle to keep up with that. So I think any more cycle is going to be pretty good.
Yeah. Right. Any thoughts? C'Thun, Rogue. I mean,
might be good, man. I don't know. It depends on what the class card does. And yeah. It's going to be a big part of it. I think C'Thun, just because it's like a 10 mana dude that leaves you vulnerable for a turn once it comes into play. I think it's going to be better in like the more defensive decks or decks you could argue Warlock's a defensive deck, even though the hero power is aggressive. I think it's going to be better in those kinds of decks. Things like Priest, Warrior, Warlock. You know, you can draw through your deck, heal a bunch, get into a position where you're not going to die on the backswing after you play this 10 mana card, and then just C'Thun people.
Yeah. So, yeah, C'Thun, having a combo, Miracle C'Thun kind of deck was, I don't think going to be that good. People are just going to save, their one removal card for C'Thun, and that's a lot of your end game. You know, you might win it still on tempo a lot of times, but that being like your winning condition is, I think, could be questionable. Let's see, what class do you guys from rank R do you think needs new cards the most in this expansion?
Broke.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Hunter Rogue. I don't know. Like, I feel like a lot of the cards we have are good, but they're just like, some of them are just unused. Like Rogue, for instance, we're just talking about this. Like, if they want to push Control Rogue to the extreme, to the point where like they really, really want to give a C'Thun, you know, Control Rogue deck, you just give the dude Stealth with the class card, right? Like, it's just going to be retarded. But that's the kind of way you make a Control Rogue deck, because they have a win condition that's reliable and always going to be sticking around. So, I mean, that's the type of stuff they have to do, but like, they don't have to add that much to change a class, really. Like, a few cards here and there, and that's enough.
Yeah. So Broke from you. What do you guys, what about everybody else?
I think Paladin probably needs some early drops. They're losing Mini Bot and Muster. I'm not even kidding. Like, what are you supposed to do?
That's true, dude.
Are you just going to hero power? Like, they need something. And I don't know. They're already losing Avenge. So, if mid-range Paladin wants to see play, and like Zombie Chow's gone, like, what are you going to play in Paladin? Like Argent Squire or something?
Lowly Squire, dude. Stop. Even, like, no, just.
That sounds like good. I mean, that was like a year ago where Paladin was terrible, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's the exact same thing.
If they don't get like early drops, they're just going to get steamrolled. I also disagree with, well, you said Control Rogue. Rogue is fine, but Control Rogue does need help if you want to make that archetype viable. But,
right.
Mm-hmm. Ray?
What's the question?
Any class, like, what class do you think would you like to see, like, I guess some, or would you like to see some help in, I guess, with a new expansion?
Paladin's going to need it for sure, I think. More. It's like, think back to beta.
Yeah.
And then think about the classes that sucked. So, like, Priest, Paladin. Since they decided to have Classic be, like, an evergreen set.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're going to need to print two drops and like multiple Priest two drops in every single set in order to just have it be playable. So I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of the main thing. I'd say Priest, Paladin for sure. You're going to need a lot of good early plays.
Okay, let's see. Samadu, more of a general question. How do you get over the hump from being at rank 5 to Legend? Strategies, deck choices? I guess strategies or deck choices? Which one do you think is the biggest key to going from that, or going from, or clearing that hump? Because that is a hump for sure, going from rank 5 to Legend. It's kind of like 15 to 10, 10 to 5. I mean, it's almost like a 5 level type of thing, generally. Any recommendations?
A lot of people get discouraged because they're used to lower level opponents and then the whole win streak aspect up to rank 5. My best advice is just play way more games than you expect. You know, make sure whatever deck you're playing is top tier. Make sure you're comfortable with it in every matchup. Make sure you can identify what deck your opponent's playing as soon as the game starts. And yeah, just go from there. You just have to grind.
Yeah, I agree with that too. You can't avoid grinding. I mean, there's going to be rare where you win 20 games in a row in that area of players. Anybody else with some advice? Dog?
Yeah, you just have to make sure you're playing a good deck. If you're experimenting with like your own stuff and you're like, oh, I can't get past rank 5.
Yeah.
It could, like, if you're not using an optimal deck, it's going to be nearly impossible to. So I just say make sure to play a good deck and to spam games a bunch. And I don't really know. Don't get on tilt.
Yeah. So I was going to say that, like, if you feel stressed, just leave. Plus go on templestorm.com for the decks.
I was setting Raynette up for that. He didn't even.
Have Blizzard. We have Blizzard now, right? You just use the Blizzard like deck list thing.
That's right. Good Lord.
Competitor.
If you want to bake a recipe. Right.
Are you playing? You playing Amani Berserker at the next tournament?
Amani Berserker.
I have all the cards. I'm pay to win. That's what Blizzard wants.
You sell out.
Sell out.
Corrupting our game. Yeah.
All right, Simon Leong. Yeah. Okay. This is more of a kind of a tournament question or admin question. How many admins are there for any online Hearthstone tournament? Or what do you think is the ideal number? What do they need to do? It's kind of an interesting question, but nobody's ever asked that before. I don't know. It depends on the size of the tournament, you know, obviously. But I'd say one admin per. I don't know, how many people do you think?
Depends, dude.
I would say like 32 people, maybe.
One admin. One per 32? Are you insane, dude? Some of these tournaments have tried to get away with like 2 people for 500. Like, yeah, it is ridiculous.
Well, I'm saying what would be ideal would be like 1 per 32.
Oh, ideal, yeah, sure. Yeah. 1 per 32, sure.
But I don't know. What do you guys think? I don't know. That's just my thoughts on.
Yeah. Ideal 1-to-1, right?
Yeah, 1-to-1. Holy crap!
1-to-1 match, like, maybe.
1-to-64, 1-to-32. It really depends.
Yeah, and what do they do? I mean, they generally get all the players together, you know, to play their matches. Make sure we're on schedule. Make sure disputes, usually that pertain to rules, get figured out, and that happens a lot. the bigger the tournament you have. So that's generally what happens there. Maybe he's looking to be an admin. So that's generally what we do. Any more questions here? I mean, let's see if there's maybe one more and we can go. Anything in chat you guys see? I'll let you, Noxious, why don't you choose one?
A question in chat?
Yeah. If you guys have a question, just type it in chat and we'll read it off.
There's really nothing there besides, can I touch your beard?
Can I touch
dog, your
beard?
Why is your shirt on? Okay, in the future, so you think there'll be standard specific tournaments and a wild specific tournaments? I think we've already talked about this before. What does C'Thun need to be viable? There you go. See, that's a question.
We've already just been talking
about
this.
What neutral card do we need to be, like, to make C'Thun viable? One neutral, not a class specific.
Not a class specific. I mean,
yeah.
If neutral cards gave him just like taunt, something like that, that's what he needs. You need to like give him an ability. Because if he had taunt, stealth, or charge, he'd be nuts.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Then.
Make him charge.
Charge. Oh, God.
A ballsy move.
just make everybody rage in the community.
like an Enhanced mechano for C'Thun. That'd be crazy.
Yeah,
I don't know what he's getting, right?
Dude, what if they remake Bran? Like, they make like Bran Darkbeard, and he's like auto summoned by C'Thun if it's played, so you always get the double battle cry. I can see Bran Darkbeard.
Like, no, I can't see Bran Darkbeard.
Sounds like such a cool idea.
Oh man,
The imbalance.
Okay, yeah, I guess get yeah. Some, I mean, it's fair game, right? It's fair game for whatever these cards can give C'Thun. So that'd be kind of interesting. All right, maybe one last one. So Jameson Meister, will Echo C'Thun Mage be viable? Can you see that being something?
Echo is not part of TVG.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep. It is. It's gone.
But in Wilds,
yeah.
Maybe duplicate with C'Thun could work.
Yeah,
duplicate C'Thun would be pretty good.
Effigy.
Oh, God.
Effigy.
Man. Who would come from like that C'Thun?
How many things would come from Effigy? 7
I think it's like Varian, Sea Giant.
Yeah.
Things like
there's
that.
There's not much, actually.
That's sheep.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I think that's going to be it. Why don't we wrap up the show? Great having you on, dog. It's always a pleasure getting a chance to talk some cards.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you want to do some shout-outs?
My team, which is Liquid. Not Complexity.
Should have mentioned that earlier, man. Should have mentioned that.
That is my
it doesn't matter. Just Liquid. That's it.
That's terrible. My bad. Oh, Liquid. Oh, man. Monk's gonna be all over me, man, for that. Reyna, do you want to do shout-outs?
Shout-out to, Noxious Dog, Chris, for being here. Sorry if I pull off or rambled too much. I'm a little bit out of it today. What else? Shout-out to G2A.com for all your video game buying needs. And, what else do I have to do? Fnatic Gear Twitch. Great guys. Store.tempestorm.com. And that's about all I have, I guess. I don't know.
All right.
Cool sponsor stuff, man.
All right. Good deal. Noxious, how about you?
Crazy. Yeah, just a shout out to the team Complexity, not Liquid. that's about it. I guess Amino for sponsoring the stream. God. Simple. Very simple.
All right. And I'll, of course, round things out by thanking you guys for being on and doing the show with me every week. All the folks for watching, too. Thanks for hanging out. And, big shout out to the patrons, too. I didn't get a chance to plug the patrons today, but huge thanks to them. And you can support the show, too, at patreon.com/valuetown. Here's a quick thank you to all the patrons so far. Didn't have a break today, so I didn't get a chance to do that. But I do still want to recognize all those people. You guys are awesome. And you'll find the VODs on youtube.com/ChamMV shortly after the show. We've got some, hopefully we're going to have a cool thing on the show maybe in 2 weeks. I don't want to do announcement, but something to definitely look forward to, or at least follow Valuetown GG. Follow the Twitter account Valuetown GG for any news on potentially that. But that's going to be it for the show today. So for Dog, Raynad, Noxious, and myself, we'll see you next week. Later.